ESPN 97.7 The Ref presents Stan Girard on Basketball, a weekly inside look into the University of Southern Indiana men's basketball program, featuring comments from the coach and a member of this year's USI team. Stan Girard on Basketball is being brought to you by Tironi's, Allstott Office City, Banterra Bank, and by Martin Woodruff, State Farm Insurance Agency. Now with USI head coach Stan Girard, here's the host of the show, ESPN's Dan Agurski.
Good evening, everyone, and welcome to Stan Girard on Basketball here on this Wednesday night, final day of the month of March, and here with Tironi's until 8 o'clock to kind of wrap up what has been, to say the least, one of the most interesting college basketball seasons and interesting year of our lives, obviously, since about a year ago at this time. But with you until 8 o'clock, it's our final show, and Stan Girard with us here tonight. Fans, boy, really appreciate you guys coming out. Nice night like tonight to be here and kind of hear from Coach one more time for this 2021 season. How are you?
I'm doing great, man. I had a reset. Had a few days to spend with the family, and I feel great. I'm fresh. My health is back to where it should be, and blessed to be here. And I'm really proud of this team this year. I know I reflected on it a little bit in the newspaper. He probably called me too early, Dan. I was a little still disappointed in the year we had, but proud of my guys and really proud of everything they've done this year and looking forward to next year.
All right, so between I think the last show we did was the night after the Michigan Tech game, and then I know, like I said, you had a chance to spend some time with your family, and you know, I mean, obviously, as a coach, you're not around a whole lot throughout the course of the year, and so I mean, those moments that you have with your wife and your daughter Kennedy, who's here tonight for the show, I mean, those certainly are really special, and I know they appreciate getting a chance to spend some time. We need some downtime when you're not on the phone talking to recruits and players and other coaches.
Yeah, I feel bad. You know how it is. As a coach, you miss out on so many things. But fortunately, this year, with our move in COVID, she was forced to stay home and learn in the house. So I spend a lot more time than I have in the past. And when the season was over, I laid around and moped a couple of days and got a call from the president, Dr. Rashawn, rather. And he was telling me I need to get up and, you know, get my family out and do something. And I know we hadn't been on spring break in a couple years because we were playing, and I had a chance to go down to Florida, Fort Lauderdale, for a week, and it was great to get away. I'm sure she wanted me off the phone. I was still working, but I was having my feet in the sand. We was on the beach, but I was still working a little bit trying to secure a couple recruits and talking to my staff. But it was great to get away, and I'm refreshed and ready to get back going and build this roster.
Okay, so just as far as the COVID thing with you, I mean, you're in that 90-day antibody period, so feeling better than you were a couple weeks
absolutely
ago.
I'm sure everybody can tell my energy level is a lot different when I was here the last few shows. I struggled, but you know, in time is healing, and I'm in a lot better place than what I was a few weeks ago.
All right, so coming up tonight, we'll talk about this basketball team. You know, some of the individuals, we were hoping to maybe have a couple of them here, but they've got kind of a team function going on tonight.
Yeah,
I'm telling you that.
That's what they told me, but I believe it because I called a couple guys to come out tonight, and they didn't get any time together all year. And when I talked to them today, they felt bad, but they have a movie night tonight, a group team, team function. They're going to the movies tonight. I don't know what they're going to go and see, but they're going to hang out tonight. And I think this is, at least I think this is their first time hanging out outside of practice all together. And Mateo and Josh made it mandatory for everybody to hang out tonight. So it's great for those guys to get out and do some things together. Much needed.
Well, I mean, it is. And, you know, you sit there and even like, you know, that the daily radio show that I do, you know, I've had the chance to talk to a lot of these spring sport athletes, both high school and college, whose seasons were canceled last year. And, you know, one of the last questions I always ask these athletes is, what is it like to, you know, you can't be a typical high school senior. You can't be a typical college student because there's no social life. And, you know, to give up your life, whether you're a senior in high school, a freshman in college, or a senior in college, and, you know, if you're an athlete and you're basically going to practice, you're going back home, and that's about the extent of it.
Yeah.
And so for these kids, you know, and they have a chance now to be together and not worry about, okay, who are we going to run into tonight? Do we have to, you know, this mask and the COVID and everything else? I could imagine those guys are really looking forward to this.
Absolutely. And I'll share some numbers with you, with everyone here. I'm looking at my phone here. I was talking to Laura Heline, our athletic trainer, because I've been trying to figure out how many days were we actually in quarantine. So I'll read it to you guys. And before the fiasco, the team was in a 28-day quarantine. Tyler Dancy spent 35 consecutive days in quarantine because his roommate had it. He came out for a day after the quarantine, went back in, then his other roommate caught it, then he caught COVID. So 35 days in a row of quarantine. Clayton and Chance Cole, 24 consecutive days in quarantine. And between the other guys, it was between 9 and 20 days. As a team, we were quarantined 48 days. We missed 50 practices. Wow. As a team. And that's why when I look back at this, I'm proud of my guys for, you know, everything they endured this year and still came out with great attitudes in what we did this year. So very promising future for USI basketball. And I'm really excited about the next steps with these guys, man. It's been a long year, a lot of, you know, tweaking things so we can get our guys together, but they've done a great job in terms of keeping great attitudes, and I think this is going to help these guys out in the future once they face some other real life problems, because this was tough, you know, and you're asking these guys to make the ultimate sacrifice to play a game. You know, you think about you risking a life, you know, they had family members lose their lives over COVID and friends are sick, and you're asking these guys to sacrifice so much for a game. So fortunately next week, Dr. Rashawn, in the committee on campus, we'll be able to take COVID tests on campus. I mean, not COVID. We'll get our vaccines on campus. All of our student athletes will. So next Thursday, Friday, everybody will be vaccinated. Now, I had a couple meetings today with a couple guys. Tyler Henry, you know, he has an old soul, so everybody knows Tyler, and he don't know if he wants to take the test yet. I mean, take the shot yet, because he's got to do more research, you know. And I was not shocked when he said that, because if you know Tyler Henry, that's just what he is and what he's about. So he had all this stuff. He had on his phone research and had his pros and cons. And I told him that I can't make you take it. I just advise it. So hopefully next week he'll be in a better place. And I said, what's the number, you know, between 160% no, 40% yes. So we got to get him to that no number where he's comfortable taking the shot. But he's just one of those guys, man, that, you know, he's on a keto diet this year. Yes. and try to play basketball on a keto diet and wonder why he didn't have energy. And he just tries a lot of different stuff, man. And I think at some point, hopefully next week, he'll change his mind so that we can, you know, feel a little bit more safer when we're on the basketball court.
Yeah, he, you know, of all the players I've been around in this USI program for, oh, my gosh, it's been 30 years or something. I mean, you know, Tyler, when we did our first show, Stan and I, and this was back in the Varsity Club room right after Thanksgiving. It was right after that first week of the Rockhurst and William Jewell game. And Tyler came on, got a chance to meet him and talk with him a little bit. And what a very impressive young man. I mean, very articulate, you know, has a great deal of pride in his grades. And, I mean, just in the gym all the time shooting. And that is, we're kind of going through the season on the road. And, again, you know, this was the other part of traveling with this basketball team this spring. You know, you guys know that you travel with this team. You know the kind of restaurants they go to. And this year, this team went to one restaurant. That was it. Everything else was catered in to the hotel. And we all understood that. And the one time we went to the restaurant, it was in Kansas City. It was that Italian place. Boca's? Is that what it is?
Boca, yes.
So it's an Italian place. And Tyler's sitting there and just had like three or four plates of salad. And I'm like, okay.
He's
and then,
too young for that, isn't he?
all this food that, you know, we get we eat really well, and Tyler's just, you know, but, you know, he's on this diet, and he's kept to his guns, and you know what? He never did waver off of it, and you got to give the kid credit. But like I said, I mean, to your point, Coach, okay, we got to play 40 minutes. You may need about 30 minutes today. Tyler, I don't think, you know, one little bagel for breakfast is going to cut it today.
he was setting his own ways, rice cakes for breakfast. And, yeah. I mean, I'm 50 years old, and I'm not doing rice cakes yet. But I remember we went, I forgot where it was, another restaurant, and he ordered I think we walked over it when we was at in Kansas City. We walked across the street, you and I and a couple of the guys walked to Chipotle while the other guys, I think they went to, was it a burger place?
Or a wings place.
Wing place, and he just got fries because he don't want the meat. He's a different guy in a good way. Takes his academics very serious, as you indicated. He's a 3.9 on a 4 scale in a business major. And, when we signed Tyler, we talked about, the first thing we talked about was your grades, and don't worry about my grades, coach. I'm fine. So the way we got him is we put together a plan for him to get his master's degree in 2 years. And, we looked at it and we was going to put him in 15 hours per semester and he wants 18. You know, he wants to take 12 hours in the summer. So if he stays on this track right now, he'll probably graduate with his undergraduate degree next year and have 2 years to get his master's degree. He talked to me yesterday about getting a doctorate degree. But I said, I've never seen an athlete, go through college and get a PhD. But great student. We was walking around campus yesterday with we did a tour of the new facilities on the other side, phase two of the arena, and Dr. Dulles and Holly and I walked into Angie from the athletic office walked into the locker room, and everybody's in there playing video games. Tyler Henry with his headphones on, and he was studying. And he had another screen up on his second computer because he didn't understand what the teacher was saying. So he Googled it so he can figure out what was going on. But this kid is he's unbelievable. He overthinks everything, but he's unbelievable, and I cannot wait to see what happens to him in about 10 years because I think the future is bright for Tyler Henry.
Oh, absolutely. All right, we'll take a break. We'll come back. We'll talk about, again, what's been going on with this team, maybe some individual meetings with the players, kind of get their thoughts as we kind of, like, again, move toward the 21-22 season. Obviously, USI yesterday announcing the signing of a couple of high school kids, one from Castle, one from Indianapolis, both these kids. We'll get your thoughts on it, but both these kids may have a shot to be on the Indiana All-Star team. Yeah. I mean, that's how good they are. So we'll talk about all that coming back. And again, the schedule, we'll maybe peek at that a little bit for this coming season. We're live at Tirone, Stan Girard on basketball, Tirone ESPN, 97.7 FM, the Rep.
Benny and the Main Street Boys making noise at Tirone. Ain't nothing but a pizza party.
Running a business is filled with pressures, and banking shouldn't be one of them. I'm Dane Chandler, commercial officer with Banterra Bank, and we want to be your financial partner. We know that the cost of starting, growing, or acquiring a new business can stretch beyond what you have saved. That's why we offer a variety of financing solutions, including SBA loans for small businesses. Give me, Dane Chandler, a call at 812-401-4323 to get started. Member FDIC, Equal Housing Lender.
It's not just a home or a car, it's the 6 months you save for your Ultra HD flat screen just in time for the basketball season and the overtime you work for that third car so your teen can drive himself to practice. While other insurance companies just see them as a bundle or combo, State Farm agent Martin Woodruff sees your home and car as things you work really hard for. Martin understands what your things really mean to you and is here to help you give them the protection that they deserve. Talk to State Farm agent Martin Woodruff in Evansville for your home and auto.
Welcome back, Stan Girard on basketball here on this Wednesday night, our final show for this 2021 campaign. And during this segment, Coach, let's just maybe talk a little bit. Again, I don't know if you're gone most of last week, but a chance to maybe begin. I know it's coaches kind of have exit meetings on the season with the players. Have you had a chance to talk to some of the young men and just kind of get their thoughts
on the season, kind of this transition, everything we've been through, and kind of what their thoughts and ideas are, along with yours, as they prepare for next year.
Absolutely. We started exit meetings on Monday. I have about four more to go, and I scheduled this year. I scheduled each guy for an hour. I didn't want to rush them out so I can get their thoughts. And the first meeting I had was with Josh Price, just trying to figure out what he really wants to do. Josh and I have been on the phone, even last week on vacation, with agents from Europe, agents from the States, to try to figure out next steps. I think we had about about seven Zoom calls with agents that wants to represent Josh. And so in my meetings, what I try and do is I want to know how we're doing. You know, I told our guys, like, listen, you don't hurt my feelings. I want to know if we're doing bad, doing good. I want your true feelings. And if you're not comfortable saying it, write on a piece of paper, and I put a box outside the office, just drop it in the drop box, and we'll read it. I wanted myself evaluated, the assistant coaches, the practices, the setup in the games, the travel. I want to know everything so we can get better, just like we want the guys to get better. And Josh was very adamant about he was happy this year. This is probably his favorite year of playing, because I'm sure it helps when you're an All-American and a first-team All-Conference player and getting 15, 20 shots a game. But he said some good things, you know. But we met with everybody, almost everybody so far. And with Josh, we're just trying to figure out next steps. You know, he did not close the door to coming back. If the money's not where it should be, he came back on the one stipulation that he can play the four-man and shoot threes for us next year. So I told him, yes, if you come into the gym every day and shoot 500 threes per day, we'll love to have you back. But the door is open for him. He'll graduate in May. We looked at his graduation plan. We checked on his grades, checked on everybody's grades rather than see where they are. And we talked with every guy about grade, academics, graduation, your summer plans. We're going to have everybody back on the team in summer two. We gave him the option of doing summer one, but I want the entire team back together during the summer two term so that we can train together for the summer. We have a lot of new guys coming in. We have three so far. We're going to get two more new guys coming in. But I want those guys to come back in the summer to get to know each other. Now we're getting back to some sense of normalcy. Now these guys can really get to know each other, and that's going to be exciting. We didn't have a spring last year to work out our guys, nor our preseason, and I'm really excited about, you know, just next year and having these guys. So we met with most guys, and I'm one of those guys, man, that I'm going to be truthful with you. Sometimes it hurts. And we had a couple guys that I was very truthful with, but they understood where I was coming from, and they did the same to me, and I understood it as well. And I think it's going to make us better. You know, I don't want to sugarcoat anything for these guys to be thinking I feel a certain way. If I feel a certain way, I'm going to tell you. And I expect those guys to do the same. That's just part of growing up. And we had some great dialogue. And, you know, I met with Josh so far, Mateo, Tyler Henry, Jelani Simmons. So everybody, and I'll tell you what else I did. I looked at guys' individual basketball game. We talked about your strengths and weaknesses. And so everybody's got a plan in terms of what I want these guys to work on in the postseason. We started our postseason workouts after we finished our last game. We have to take 10 days off with your team. And so that vacation kind of played into it was great timing. But you have to take 10 days off, and then you can resume your workouts. We get 4 hours, 4 hours per week in the weight room and on the court. So we started weights on Monday. We lifted this week 3 days per week at 8 a.m. We trained on the court 2 days this week because of the short week. And then next week we're going to crank it up. We'll train Monday, Tuesday, Thursday, Friday, 8 o'clock a.m., Monday, Tuesday, Thursday, Friday at 6 a.m. In the weight room. I got to wake them up. It's just part of growing up. You know, we trying to, as we talk about trying to get these guys ready for life after basketball, I think waking them up in the morning gets them used to, you know, getting ready for the real world at some point. So we'll do weights in the morning, and then we'll come back at 2 o'clock, 3 days a week on the basketball court.
So as far as the personnel, I mean, Clayton was here, you know, the last show and said, He's going to come back with that extra year of eligibility after last year. Then the other two, you just talked about Josh, so that decision's still coming. What about Mateo?
Mateo's all in. Mateo, and the good thing about Mateo, what a great kid, man. He came in, he bought in. from day one. He was the one guy when things got bad with Josh in the beginning and Emmanuel. He didn't have a problem standing up to those guys. It got to a point a couple of times I had to pull him away from him because it was getting physical. But great team guy. And I asked him today, we're going to talk about these two signees in a minute. My question to Mateo today was, will you be okay coming off the bench? And it wasn't like, I'm not going to bring him off the bench, but I just wanted to know where his head was. He said, if it helps us win, I'll do whatever it takes. So this is a senior saying that about two freshmen. So I also asked, are you comfortable playing off the basketball a little bit? Because we have two freshmen coming in, and I think they're going to be really good, whatever it takes to win. So I'm really happy that he said that. And, you know, I'm not saying he's going to come off the bench. I'm not saying he's going to be off the ball, but he wants to win. He wants to win the national championship for Evansville. He loves this place. And I think the world of this kid. He stepped up in the classroom so far. He's doing a great job right now with his grades. And I think the best thing for him to do is come back next year so that he can graduate. You know, had he not played this year, he needed another semester to finish up. But with him coming back next year, he'll graduate on time. That's the main goal. You know, basketball is secondary compared to your academics.
Well, I mean, you look at that young man and, you know, walking in as a freshman and then, you know, that his sophomore year and playing on that team. And, I mean, he will forever go down in USI history as hitting maybe one of the biggest shots in the school's, you know, program's history. I mean, no disrespect to any of those guys that you played with, but, I mean, that game against Lewis in the semifinals, you know, one length of the court to the other, got the game-winning basket. I mean, just incredible. And, you know, as good of friends as he is, and, you know, with Emmanuel and Josh, and then everything that happened after the Illinois-Springfield game, and you're thinking, you know, where is this young man's head? But, you know, not being around him every single day, just being around him on the road and seeing him, I mean, he never wavered. And you talk about the one guy on this team this year, I think, that everybody respected and looked up to more than just his leadership on the basketball court would be Mateo Rivera.
Absolutely. And his drive. You know, he has this drive in him that, you know, a lot of people don't see. He's doing a great job of bringing our young guys along. When he goes in the gym in the morning to shoot, he makes Elijah Jones wake up in the morning. Maybe 6 or 7 o'clock in the morning, but he wakes him up. And unfortunately for Mateo, in that second game against Michigan Tech, you guys probably saw he was hurt. He jammed his toe, his big toe, in that Lewis game, and all day long he didn't walk. He didn't come to shoot around. He didn't work out and shoot around. And for him to come out and do what I think he scored 17 points in the second game. We took him off the basketball, so he didn't have to fight the pressure. But he did a wonderful job, and his leadership. I think it stems from he always talks about Alex Stein, how Alex was the Breakfast Club guy that made guys get up in the morning and come and shoot. And I think he learned from Alex. Now he's instilling those same things into Elijah Jones, Keegan O'Neal, and hopefully those guys instill it into the next wave of guys that we're going to talk about in a second.
All right, so we talk about some of the guys that got a lot of the minutes. What were your thoughts on the development? Again, you go back to that NCAA tournament game. I think everybody that was here that went to that game or listened to it, I mean, you know, what Tyler Martin did those two games, if that is any indication on what he can do to help this team this coming season, because I'll be quite honest with you, I never thought I'd see him in a USI uniform again after last year and some of the things that went on, and I'm thinking, okay, he's hurt the whole year. Will he ever play? And, boy, what he did against Lewis and kind of ignited that team and the confidence that he has, certainly coming from his father. You talk about a guy with a doctorate. I think Craig Martin's the only guy I think I've ever known come through this program that's kind of got that education level, you know, to where Tyler wants to go. But, you know, you look at him, you look at Keegan, you look at Elijah, and all these guys were stars on their high school team. Mm-hmm. And they come to a program like this, one of the top programs certainly in the country. We all know that. And you have to take on a different role, and you have to learn. And you just wonder sometimes growing up how much those guys had to sit and wait for their opportunity. So I would be kind of curious to know guys like Elijah, guys like, you know, Keegan
O'Neal.
You know, those guys, what their thoughts were on this season and how they feel that they can get to a point where they may contribute a little more next year.
I'll tell you what, it's funny you say that. I was set with Keegan O'Neal yesterday. Keegan averaged 20 points in high school. Elijah Jones averaged 17 points in high school and was a Division I signee at Western Illinois. before we took a job here. Tyler Martin, I think he was a 15, 20-point scorer in high school. And now you go to college and you're no longer the superstar. And that's hard. You know, been there, done that. That's hard. And but those guys come from great families that taught them patience, you know, to wait your turn. And my hat goes off to those guys because, you know, Elijah Jones, who, again, signed a Division I scholarship at Western Illinois, he could have went to Eastern Illinois. He could have went to, I think, IUPUI. He had offers, but he came here. And then we bring him here and sit him all year. That was tough. But he understands the big picture. You know, he don't just look at the now. He looks at the future. And I think he knows, just like I know, those guys have a chance to be stars in the future. And just to piggyback on Tyler Martin, I don't think Tyler knew he'd play at one point because he was hurt for a while. And a lot of credit goes to, you know, when we were in that long quarantine after the Truman State game, a lot of credit goes to John Spruance, Kevin Gant, and John Aldridge. I know they're listening for holding it down when I was out. And we had, what, five or six guys in practice, and we talked on the phone a lot, and they got those guys ready to play, and especially Tyler Martin. He responded very well.
All right, before our next break, so let's just, you tell me, last time you and I were together, that we got some pretty good news about Jacob Polakovich and how much eligibility he has left.
Yeah, Jacob Polakovich, we thought coming in he'd have 2 years, and Alex Eaton looked at options for him next year and filled out a waiver, and he now has 3 years to play. So we are super excited about this young man. He took the court the other day for the first time on Tuesday.
How many people he knocked out?
He can't do anything, no live contact. He can just do workouts. And today I told him to slow down because I got in the office this morning at 7:30 before weights. He worked out before 7:30, basketball. After weights, we were done about 9. He was in the gym again, and then he worked out again before I left about 2 o'clock. So I have to slow him down a little bit. But he's back on the court, no live contact, but really excited about this young man. He's going to make us better because he works hard. He's going to hold guys accountable. And I told Tyler Henry today, I said, Jacob Polakovich is going to make you better because Tyler's a vocal guy, but Tyler was the only guy that was very vocal this year. Mateo's a lead by example guy and don't say very much, but Tyler's very vocal, as is Jacob Polakovich. And I think, you know, with him having 3 years, we're going to be pretty good. You know, I hate to say that and boast a little bit, but we're going to be pretty good because we have some good ones coming back.
All right, we'll talk about some new guys coming in. Three guys that right now are in high school, early signee last fall, a couple more this week. We'll be right back. This is Stan Gerard on basketball live at Taroni's on ESPN, 97.7 FM, the Ref.
Vinny and the Main Street Boys making noise at Taroni's. Ain't nothing but a pizza party at Taroni's. Vinny and the Main Street Boys are calling.
Running a business is filled with pressures, and banking shouldn't be one of them. I'm Dane Chandler, commercial officer with Banterra Bank, and we want to be your financial partner. We know that the cost of starting, growing, or acquiring a new business can stretch beyond what you have saved. That's why we offer a variety of financing solutions, including SBA loans for small businesses. Give me, Dane Chandler, a call at 812-401-4323 to get started. Member FDIC, Equal Housing Lender.
Stuck in a state of falling behind? Struggling to keep up with your kids, your finances, your insurance, your life? Then let State Farm agent Martin Woodruff at Evansville help you simplify and get to a better state. Because with Martin handling your auto, home, and life insurance, you'll have more time to handle everything else, and more money too. Because adding State Farm policies can earn discounts that could add up to 40% and actually help you get ahead.
Call State Farm agent Martin Woodruff in Evansville today and get to a better state with State Farm.
Mark's Mattress Outlet has been your local mattress and adjustable base leader for over 15 years. Mark's offers top name brands like Sealy and Serta for up to 80% off other store sale prices. Mark's prices are so low we had to promise not to advertise the brand names. Stop in today while selection is best during our Mark's Madness sales event. Bring your truck and trailer and take home your new mattress today. Go to marksmattress.com today for a location near you.
New Sleep Natural luxury brand mattresses are only at Mark's Mattress Outlet. Sleep Natural specializes in temperature neutral and cooling foam technology. With the highest quality at the lowest price in town, check out our full-featured adjustable bases with our soothing massage feature and zero gravity. For the best sleep of your life, go to a Mark's location near you. Click on marksmattress.com for locations. That's marksmattress.com.
Mark's Mattress Outlet.
Welcome back, Stan Gerard on basketball here in this Monday night, second half of the show. We'll talk about some of the new players that will be coming in this next season and also take a quick peek at what the conference schedule looks like for the 21-22 season. Well, before we talk about the new players, one other guy I want to bring up, Glenn Rouse. Certainly suffered through the back issues again this season. You expect him back next year?
Yes. He. We talked today, and he's excited. He's trying to push himself through his injuries. We lifted this morning in the weight room, and I thought he overdid it, but he's trying to push himself to see how much he can actually take. We talked about his class schedule next year. With him having an extra year, he can kind of scale back a little bit and still graduate. But Glenn is back. He's excited about it. I try to talk him out of playing because I worry about his future. You know, I'm not one of those guys that, like, let's get you playing now, but I worry about him when he's 40 years old. He's not going to have the quality of life, but he wants to play, and I can't tell him no. So he's going to come back next year, and I think he's all in. But he's been a great kid to be around, and he's going to make a lot of money one day. That kid's pretty smart,
yeah,
man.
Yeah, he certainly helps the team GPA, I can tell you that.
You're right. He's going to live he and Tyler, you're probably not surprised, but he and Tyler Henry are going to be roommates next year. Tyler Henry wants to live with someone who studies about as much as he do, if not more. He wants to live with Glenn.
Well, those are two guys on the road next year. If they're roommates, I'm staying out of that room. I couldn't even walk in. And yeah. Okay. So, well, let's talk. We certainly, earlier this year, we talked about Mr. Melke, the young man out of Downers Grove, that you signed him in the fall, 6'7". Yeah, talk a little bit about him, Stan, and then, of course, we couldn't talk about it. You couldn't the last time we were here, but now the letters have been tailored in for Isaiah Stafford and Isaiah Swope as well, the kid from Castle, the kid from Crispus Attic. So talk about these three incoming freshmen.
Really excited. When we looked at recruiting, I think it was important to recruit in your own backyard. I think I made that quote on the internet, meaning we want to make sure we take care of our own area. It's a lot of talent down here. There's a lot of talent down here in Evansville. And I think I may have watched Swope, maybe 7-8 times. The first time they played Floyd Central, I'm like, well, I got to see him play against more athletes. I go watch him play against Gary Westside, and he was pretty good. And the more we watched him, I just like, oh, this kid fits into our style. So once I got deeper into our season, I realize how good he can really be. And we've been in conversation with the kid all year and his family, and he wanted to be here all along. He was just waiting on us to call. I hate that I took so long, but I wanted to be sure. I didn't want to get it wrong. And I think this kid, you know, two more Isaiahs, you know, Isaiah Swope and Isaiah Stafford. We have three Tylers this year, yeah. Tyler Henry, Tyler Martin, Tyler Dancy. So, but now we're going to bring in two Isaiahs. All-star candidate. They are all Indiana all-star candidate. Both guys are Indiana all-star candidates. Swope was player of the year in the city, am I right?
Yes.
And Isaiah Stafford, the other kid in Indianapolis, he was the Indianapolis player of the year. And at Crispus Attucks High School. So we got really two good ones. I was kind of concerned because, both of them are point guards. Stafford is 6'2", and Swope is 5'11", so I talked to them both on the phone, like, don't worry about playing. If you're a basketball player, you can play whatever. So we're going to look to play two guards together. Stafford's pretty good off the ball. Really good athlete. Stafford has a college body already. He's strong. He's great at the mid-range. And Swope has got to get a little stronger. But Swope's a gym rat. And I talked to him last night via text. And he's playing on the playground. That's how much he loves to play. And that's the kind of guys I want in the program, the guys that just go find a place to play. And I think both of these guys, I think they'll be 1,000-point scorers because they can put the ball in the hole. Both of those guys can.
Do you expect Swope and Stafford then? I mean, you look at, okay, guards, we got Coyle, we got Rivera, we got Tyler Martin, we have Tyler Henry. So, that's six guys. You expect all those guys to play?
Well, the best man is going to play. And we're going to put the best foot forward. You know, if it's Swope as a freshman, then he's going to play. If it's Stafford as a freshman, he's going to play. But that makes our practices more competitive. You know, guys can't get too comfortable in that top. Those top five guys can't get too comfortable because someone's breathing down their back. That's why we were good in Indy last year. Our second five was better than the first five. And, you know, no one was comfortable in practice knowing that no matter how bad I play or whatever I do, I'm still going to play. Guys are uncomfortable, so we got to make guys uncomfortable in the game. Now, we could also talk about Richard and a couple guys, depending on where they are, and that's an option. But the good thing about Swope and Stafford are freshmen. So I'm thinking future. I look at potential when I sign those two guys. I think in 2 years, 2 or 3 years, rather, they're going to be pretty good. You know, so I think we knocked out the park on that. Kevin Gant spent most of the time with Swope and Aldridge and Spruan spent most of the time on Swope. And I think both of those guys are good gets.
All right, so Melke a little bit. What do you project him to do next year?
He's a stretch four, and that's Spruan spent a lot of time chasing him around. He can shoot the basketball. That's what he does. That's his forte. You know, if you think about my team in Indy last year, Trevor Lakes, that's who he kind of reminded. His jump shot, I said it before, is kind of like Todd. What was Todd's last name?
Todd Jones.
Todd Jones. His jump shot sits back behind his head like Todd Jones, but it goes in. And he kind of reminds me of Trevor Lakes, the way he can stretch the floor. So with Mateo and those point guards, we can put him in ball screen situations because he's a great pick-and-pop kid. Had a great year at high school with his high school team this year in the Chicagoland area, so we're really excited about him as well. And he's a presidential scholar. I don't know if you guys knew that. He's a presidential scholar. So I told John Mark when I took his job, I want a team GPA of 3.0. Now we had that at Indy for four semesters in a row, and I want to do the same thing here. And he's a presidential scholar. So not only is he a good basketball player, but he's great in the classroom. So really excited about him in the classroom and what he's going to do.
So now where do you go recruiting? How many more guys do you want to possibly bring in for this next
season? We have three more scholarships.
Wow.
That's a lot. But here's what I'm going to do. I'm going to reward Keegan O'Neal. The freshman kid from right up the road, he committed to Indy when I was there. And we had such a great relationship, he and I and Spruance and Aldridge. When we took the job here, he was devastated. And I remember having a conversation. We couldn't take him. We didn't have any money. And he wanted to play for us so bad, he said he'd pay his own way.
Wow.
So, and that just goes to show you how good of assistance I have. You know, he paid his own way this year. And so we're going to put him on scholarship next year. And then we'll bring in two more guys. And I don't know what that means yet, but we're bringing two more guys next year on top of giving Keegan O'Neal a scholarship.
So, though, what positions are you looking to fill? I mean, certainly if you've got six guys in the backcourt right now, you're probably not looking at any more guards, are you?
Yes. I think our struggles this year was from guard play. If you look at our starting lineup, we started Mateo at the point guard. We started Tyler Henry at the shooting guard. We started Jelani Simmons. With those three guys, there was only really one guy that can go off the bounce, and that was Mateo. So we have to get better. Now, we are better off the bounce with the freshmen, but you don't know with freshmen how good they're going to be. So we may have to bring in one more experienced guard, maybe a one-year guy, to kind of move Mateo off the ball. It was Mateo told me today that that point guard position is a hard position because he's trying to get his own, you know, score his points, but he also has 12 or 13 other guys telling you to give me the basketball, you know. So that's a hard job. So he wants to come up with the ball a little bit more and not – he wants to play the point, but not as much. So we're going to look at that and see if we can get him up the ball. I think our other need is a stretch forward that's more experienced than Jack Mielke, a guy that can step out. And what we're doing this year, what we did this year with, let's just say, Jelani Simmons, for example, I had Jelani Simmons mentor Elijah Jones because they play the same position. So what I want to do next year is bring in a stretch four at that four at the four position that can mentor Jack Mielke. So when he graduates, Jack is ready to go. So we try to put these guys in leadership positions to mentor the younger guys, so that, you know, when they graduate, these guys will do the same thing and going forward. So that's my plan.
I mean, you never like to rush, but then again, I mean, time is always, you don't want to waste any time either. So do you have a timetable, you and your coaching staff, stand of where you want to complete this roster? Do you wait until go through the transfer portal and wait all summer?
Did you see that transfer portal? Anybody keep up with that? There's over 1,000, I think before I left at 3 o'clock, it was 1,085 people in the transfer portal. I hate to talk bad about the NCAA, but we got to do something about that because they're making it too easy for these kids to transfer. And that changed. I was talking to a friend today, Luca Dino at Wichita State. They had 3 kids in the portal. And not that they hated it there, they just, 2 of the kids were the type of kids like they didn't like you getting on them, you know, to hold them accountable. And that was their reason for wanting to transfer, because the coach held them accountable. They make it too easy for these kids to transfer. They can transfer and play right away. I don't think that's right. I think they need to sit out a year. That'll really pause these guys from transferring out. But there's 1,085 guys in the portal. To answer your question, Dan, if we take this roster right now where it is, we're okay. I think we can compete for a championship with this group. So we're not going to rush it. We want to make sure we get the best guy that's going to represent this university in a first-class manner. And we're not going to rush it. You know, a lot of guys in that portal right now, not thinking about D2. There's a kid transferring from Missouri that averaged 2 points a game. I think he's probably going to Duke next year. So that just goes to show you how bad that portal is right now. So we're taking our time. We have a few guys we're talking to, but you know, I'm not going to pressure anybody. I want to do my homework next week. The coaching staff and I are going to hop in the car and drive to Kansas City and do an in-home visit with a young man. But we're not going to rush it. We want to make sure we get the right fit.
All right. Before we talk about, man, you know, looking at this schedule next year, just any thoughts? I mean, certainly the city hosted the Division II Elite Eight this past weekend in Northwest Missouri State. Again, 2 out of the 3 of the last 5 years winning the national championship. Truman State losing in the last 10 seconds in their game with Flagler. Any thoughts? I know obviously you're out of town, but any thoughts on the Elite Eight?
We went to the my wife and my daughter and I went to the Truman State Michigan Tech game. I was disappointed because at the 7-minute mark of the first half, Michigan Tech was shooting 18% from 3. Yeah. And I'm like, wow, why did they shoot that way a couple nights ago? Because those guys were on fire. I don't know if it was their offense or our bad defense, but they shot the heck out of the ball. And Truman stepped up and won the game, and congratulations to Truman. I went there to support their coach because he's a good friend of mine. He's a first-class guy. And he and I talked more than any other coach in the league. So I went there to support him. Excuse me. But watching the other games, Northwest Missouri State is something special. They have a point guard that does not belong at this level. I think that kid's a mid to high major player. He's a 2-time player of the year in the conference. I think he was player of the year as a sophomore, if my memory serves me correct, and got it again this year. And he's got another year, actually 2 years, because this year doesn't count. So I was talking to my staff, you know, when we have our postseason staff meetings, always look at the top teams in the league. Like, okay, like last year when I was at Indy, I think it was Truman State was the number one team. So I was building my roster to beat Truman State. I'm like, what do we got to do to beat Truman State? Because they're the number one team. So we were talking after the Northwest Missouri State game, what do we have to do to beat Northwest Missouri State? Because those guys have won 3 of the last 5. So that's how we're going to build our roster down to try to get to that point to beat those guys because they are really good. And their coach, I'm surprised he's still there, but he has a lot of ties in that community and has some great players, and they just play the game the right way. And they're fun to watch. I know a lot of you all probably went to that game, but that's just a fun team to watch. But the way they share the basketball, they was all aligned on the same page, and that's why they won the basketball game, won the championship, rather, because how they all those guys are aligned with each other.
All right. We'll take a break. We'll come back. We'll talk about next year's schedule as we'll continue here. Stan Girard on basketball live here at Taroni's on ESPN, 97.7 FM. The Ref.
Vinny and the Main Street Boys making noise.
At Taroni's.
Ain't nothing but a pizza party.
At Taroni's.
Vinny and the Main Street Boys are calling.
Just a home or a car, it's the 6 months you save for your Ultra HD flat screen just in time for the basketball season and the overtime you work for that third car so your teen can drive himself to practice. While other insurance companies just see them as a bundle or combo, State Farm agent Martin Woodruff sees your home and car as things you work really hard for. Martin understands what your things really mean to you and is here to help you give them the protection that they deserve. Talk to State Farm agent Martin Woodruff in Evansville for your home and auto.
Mark's Mattress Outlet has been your local mattress and adjustable base leader for over 15 years. Mark's offers top name brands like Sealy and Serta for up to 80% off other store sale prices. Mark's prices are so low we had to promise not to advertise the brand names. Stop in today while selection is best during our Mark's Madness sales event. Bring your truck and trailer and take home your new mattress today. Go to marksmattress.com today for a location near you.
New Sleep Natural luxury brand mattresses are only at Mark's Mattress Outlet. Sleep Natural specializes in temperature neutral and cooling foam technology. With the highest quality at the lowest price in town, check out our full-featured adjustable bases with our soothing massage feature and zero gravity. For the best sleep of your life, go to a Mark's location near you. Click on marksmattress.com for locations. That's marksmattress.com.
Mark's Mattress Outlet.
Welcome back. Stan Girard and basketball here on this Wednesday night. And just taking a quick peek, Coach, at the schedule. Again, these were put out, I think, by every couple years they do this, so I don't know if it's going to be updated or not. But if the latest one we see, the league's not doing USI many favors next year as far as the conference schedule is concerned, because if all the teams this year that were at or near the top of their league, like the Truman States and the Southwest Baptist and all those places. Well, we're going to all those places. And they're not coming to USI. USI is supposed to go to Truman, go to Drury, go to Southwest Baptist. Southwest Baptist is coming here. In all fairness, Drury, we haven't been to Drury in like 5 years. But the good news is we don't have to go to Kansas City for the first time in 5 years. No road trip to Kansas City.
I love Kansas City, man. Well, good barbecue, man.
I do too. I do too. Rockhurst and William Jewell are not kind of my, I don't want to spend a weekend in those places, but they come to Evansville next year, which they did this year. So, again, you look at the schedule, and there will be the coach at Drury. I don't know if you guys know this. He stepped down, and Chris Foster, who was at Truman State, then went to McKendree. Now he's just going further south. He's going to be the new coach at Drury. So he certainly turned McKendree around in a couple years, and I'm sure they're not going to miss a beat down there at Drury. But I think right now is that McKendree the only opening right now in the league, you know?
It's not open. They promoted. They promoted the assistant coach to the head coach. He played at Bellarmine. I forgot his name. The kid that played at Bellarmine, Suggs was promoted to the. They moved pretty quick. They promoted Suggs in about a day. It happened pretty quick. So congratulations to both of those guys. Really nice guys. I mean, always I talk to those guys quite a bit as well, but congrats to Suggs. He's only been in the business 3 years, and he's the head coach already, so kudos to him for that. And kudos to Foster, man. I know I asked him why the move, and he said he wants to compete with me in terms of facilities. So he's in a great place. I'm in a great place, and I think they're going to get better now that he's there.
Okay. So what about exhibition games, non-conference games next year? I mean, boy, we just hope that there's about a 28-game schedule next year, and I know are you working right now as far as non-conference
games? As of right now, we need 3 games. Contracts have not been signed yet, but I know for sure we'll be at Kentucky Wesleyan the day before Thanksgiving at 7 p.m. Yeah, we have a...
Well, that'll make the turkey taste good on Thursday morning.
Hey, I remember back when I played, I was watching. There was a big fight in the crowd at Kentucky Wesleyan back
when I played.
There's
been more than one, Coach.
Yeah. So let's not have that happen next year. All right, let's be on our best behavior. But I'm sure it wasn't our fault because we are great people. But we're at Kentucky Wesleyan the day before Thanksgiving. If we get those 2 games over the break that we've been talking about, the travel, we'll be okay with that. We're working on a deal right now, opening weekend. It could be either the first weekend to play. We have 2 options. We're either going to play Fair State on a Friday, opening weekend, the exempt games on a Friday.
Here or there?
Start here and then go to Fair State on Sunday, opening weekend. Or the other option is, I'm trying to get Indy to comply, but he's not liking my suggestion. We go to Indy and, we'll get Grand Valley and Fair State in a crossover all at Indianapolis. So,
okay.
But again, Paul is not happy about doing that. So, I think I almost got him there. Man, I talked to him on the phone today to try to give him some reason why he should do it. I think we're going to go to Cedarville this year. I'm trying to make the schedule a little bit tougher. I just felt like over the years, you know, even when I was at Indy, we had a lighter schedule that kind of hurt us down the stretch. So I'm trying to make the schedule tougher. I know we got a couple calls from Oakland City. I'm not going to do that. I want to play some tougher opponents so we can get ready for league play. And but Cedarville for sure, Kentucky Wesleyan, and then the Fair State, whether it's one way or the other. On top of the, I think we play our first game after Thanksgiving, which is,
yeah,
that'd be challenging as well.
All right, so you're looking for 2 games?
3. Okay. You have a suggestion. I think we're going to play.
You don't want to hear my suggestion. None of these fans want to hear my suggestion.
Yes, I do.
But this is your first year, so I'm going to give it to you.
I want to listen. I trust you.
No, you don't. After what I'm going to tell you, you will never ask for my opinion again. I try to get Watson. This was, I think, how many years have I been married? 40. Okay. It's my 35th wedding anniversary.
Wow.
My wife and I went on an Alaskan cruise.
Okay. I don't like that.
See? I just told you. I can't even. And so I called Watson up. I said, 2 games. Alaska Fairbanks, Alaska Anchorage. And he said, I'm not taking my team to Alaska. And after being with you this year, knowing that you keep your thermostat at 85 degrees in your hotel room, there is no way in God's green earth you're going to Alaska.
No.
I would just settle for Montana. You know, this school, this program has allowed me to travel to 3 of the 4 corners of our country following this basketball team. The one corner I've not been to is the Northwest. Are there Division II teams in Montana we can go play?
You know what, Dan? I'm gonna do you a favor. I was gonna say no way in HE double hockey sticks, right? Is that what you always tell me? That I would do that. But before you retire, since you decided to stay on with me when I took a job, I'm gonna make that happen here. Give me a couple years, man.
Wow.
We're gonna do that for you.
Oh, you heard it here.
You heard it here first.
You heard it here.
We will look at that. We're gonna look at it. Here's the deal. We only can take trips every other year.
Yeah.
All right. So if we make a trip, do a trip this year, our next trip would be your request to try to get to Alaska. I tell you what, when my senior year, remember I set out the first semester, I think the team went to Alaska without.
And yeah, they did.
I was okay with that. I didn't have a problem with that. Now, my brother George, he did the Alaskan cruise, and he loves Alaska. He's done a lot of good things about it. So, and you know me, I grew up in the Midwest. I hate cold weather, and I want to move south at some point. And I don't like cold weather, but we'll do that for you before you retire. That'll be your parting gift.
Okay, thank you. There you appreciate go. That. There all right, go. So exhibition games. I know we were supposed to see Bruce this year. Is that still kind
I'm
of
still on? Waiting on a. I text Bruce on Monday to ask about next year. It typically takes him a couple of days to get back, but I'm sure he's busy just like I am. But I would be shocked if that does not happen. So
there's a pretty good chance we'll be at Auburn exhibition game.
Yes, we would do Auburn. We had a chance to play Butler this year, so I got to circle back to Laval and see if that's still an option. And I want to get back to Purdue. My dream exhibition game, because I'm from Illinois, is to play the University of Illinois. And last year when Trevor Lakes transferred from Indy when I took the job here, I finally established a relationship with the new staff. And I would love to take my team back to Illinois because I grew up 28 miles from that area.
Yeah.
So, but again, waiting on Bruce to hit me back, and then we'll see what happens after that. I'm going to tell him he promised me that, and everybody here at the show is waiting for him to commit. You know, so we'll do that. Especially you two guys back there, right?
Okay. So, let's just got a couple minutes left to go. IU gets a new coach this week in Mike Woodson. Marty Simmons takes the job at Eastern Illinois, so some names that people are familiar with. And I guess this time of the year for college basketball, a lot of coaches coming and going. We've seen a lot of that here, but maybe just a couple thoughts on the new IU coach.
Gene Wuerl in the last show pulled me aside. I was like, are you going to Indiana State? I'm like, no. But remember that over there, Gene. Yeah. Gene, I heard rumors, and that's exactly what they are, rumors. But Marty Simmons, congrats to him, a great coach. I respect the heck out of Marty, man. He did a great job here at Evansville, and I thought he got a bad deal. He took that program to new heights, and this year he worked at Clemson, the past couple years rather, at Clemson as a special assistant. And my former student-athlete, grad assistant Kylan Butler, was on staff there at Clemson, and every time he called me, he talked about how great of a person Marty was. And Marty got the job a couple of days ago at Eastern Illinois, and I think he's going to do great things there. Great hire. Tom Michaels, the AD there. I know Tom very well. His son, Nate Michael, you probably remember the name, played at McKendree.
Yeah.
But Tom was a fine young man, and he hired a great coach. And I think that program is going to do great things. And then IU hire, in the beginning, I didn't know. I don't know much about Mike Woodson, but I have a lot of friends in Indianapolis that knows him and says great thing. But I think the best thing IU did because, and it's no knock on Mike Woodson, he had no college experience, but they put Thad Marter in place to help him get acclimated to the college game. That was a power move right there. And I think he's going to be successful because he has a guy with unbelievable experience to kind of help him get it right. You know, I don't know who he's going to hire down there. But I would, if I was him, I would go get some of those guys in the league that played at IU. I would bring it back to IU. But I think both of those are great hires, and I can't wait to see what happens with those two teams.
Okay. Well, I tell you what, I want to thank each and every one of you guys for these last three or four shows coming and staying with us, listening all season long. And again, we were kind of all over the place with this radio show, but
we went everywhere. We were start off at the pack. We snuck in here a couple of times, and you guys were very patient with us in terms of getting here. And like Dan said, we can't thank you all enough for being loyal fans. I said it before, and I say it again. We have the best fans in the country. You know, I know there's a lot of people that's not here tonight, but I'm sure once everything gets back to some normalcy, this place will be packed, and we can't wait to see how it's going to be next year. And thank you, man. I can't thank you enough, man. I know you and I beat the pavement quite a bit to try to get some sponsorship, and you had it all in place, man. But we'll get more sponsorship next year, and then our sponsors that are listening, I'm still in the spotlight, aren't I?
No, you can run it because this is Stan Gerard of basketball, not Dan Agurski.
Let me thank our sponsors, man. You had a vision, Dan, and we had to find the funding to make it happen. And our sponsors never wavered. You know, we went and talked to them. They were, what do you need? What do you want? And it was great. It was fun getting out with you, man. And I can't wait to build this team a little bit more next year. But you are the best, man, the best in your business, and I really appreciate you for everything you've done this year for the program, and I can't wait to work with you for at least, can you give me 10 more years?
You need to call my wife on that.
All right, I got to call the wife. We'll get you to Alaska for sure.
Okay.
All right, there you go.
All right, Tarani's, Martin Woodruff, State Farm Insurance, Mark Mattress, Allstott, Banterra Bank, the sponsors. And, yeah, like I told people, and I'll say it publicly again, when Rodney decided to leave, I put three names on a list. And I said, if one of these three guys are not the new coach at US High, then you won't be seeing me. And this guy's name was number one on the list. And when that day when they hired him, I was like, man, I am all in. I'm so excited. And just, you know, it's great. And this season's been obviously a challenge for all of us. But, yeah, looking forward to working with him throughout the summer, get things going next year. And I'm just so excited for this basketball program where it's going under his leadership, and got to know the assistant coaches this year, all great guys. And as long as I've been doing this USI basketball, that's been the good thing about it, man. It's been a great program with great coaches, great players, and it just makes my job a lot easier, talking about a whole lot of wins, a few losses every now and then. But look forward to that. Have yourself a good summer. Maybe we'll see you on the golf course.
Let's get a golf course,
yeah,
right?
Golf course. If you live anywhere where we're playing, God help your house.
Yes.
All right, for all of our sponsors, thank you so much. The fine folks here at Tarani's that served us all season long. Look forward to getting back here in November. For Stan, Corey back at the studios, this has been Stan Girard on Basketball on ESPN, 97.7 FM, The Ref.
You've been listening to Stan Girard on Basketball here on ESPN, 97.7 The Ref.